Ruchim Abayim, we're going to Be'ez Hashem tackle now for the next few weeks the inyonim of Meiser as opposed to Tzedakah. So just to give an approximate but basic definition, what is Meiser and what is Tzedakah, which I'm sure those that have learned inyonim of Tzedakah have been through, is the fact that Tzedakah, in a word, is a subjective chiyuv. Tzedakah is a chiyuv that's based on somebody else either standing in front of you asking, needs that are expressed, people that have needs. Meiser is really not based on a person needing something. Meiser is based on a person's own obligations vis-a-vis himself. Let's examine the makor of this idea of meiser. You don't have to have necessarily somebody needy to be mechayiv meiser. What's the source of meiser? So interestingly enough, there's no clear Gemara, but Tosfos in Tainis Daf Tes quotes a Sifri, a Medrash, which is the Medrash that darshens the Halachas, and in the Pasuk of Aser Ta'aser, it's called Tfuah Zaracha. And remember, the Pasuk of Aser Ta'aser, which is the Kriyas HaTorah that we learn in Yom Tovim, is talking about Meiser, not in the sense that we're used to, but Meiser in the classic sense, which is Trumas of Meisers. By the way, we'll just give everybody a quick rundown. When we're talking about Trumas and Meiser specifically, not every year is the same Meiser. There are two Meisers, two tenths, two tithes that are taken off of a person's produce every year. Whereas year number one and year number two in a seven-year cycle, the seventh of the seven-year cycle is always Shemitah. So year number one, year number two, there's Meiser Rishon and what's called Meiser Sheni. Meiser Rishon is given to Levim. Meiser Sheni is to be taken and eaten with certain conditions of Kedusha in Yerushalayim. The third year, Shnas HaShlishis, has not Meiser Sheni, but has Meiser Oni. Year four and five repeats one and two, where there's one Meiser Rishon given to Levim. And the sixth year, which is like the third, which is Meiser Oni. So there's a concept of Meiser, and in that Pasuk, which obviously is a mitzvah tluya baretz, it's only in Eretz Yisrael, it's only from produce which is produced from the soil of Eretz Yisrael, and Chazal see fit to darshan a remez in that Pasuk of Aser to Aser, as kol tvua zaracho, as kol, which tells you also that there's a concept of Meiser, not so much on produce, but Meiser on all of a person's assets, and that's the Meiser that we're more used to. Understanding the makor is important because that will give us insight. When a person is mechuyev meiser, is he mechuyev meiser because there's a levi or an oni standing in front of him that's needy? No, of course not. The concept of being mechuyev is an absolute chiyuv. The peiros that grew in Eretz Yisrael have a chiyuv. Not only that, but they're osur, and that's called an iser tevel, until trumas and meisers are taken off from them. So in that model, Meiser is not based on the concept of somebody needy standing here, who needs. It's not based on someone else's needs. It's based on your chiyuv to actually take off, to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote unquote, from your bounty, from your produce. We might add, by the way, Chazal Darshan, Aser Ta'aser, Aser B'Shvil Shetis Aser. This is the Torah's way of implying that the key to financial success is give Meiser an order that you'll have. So it's not so much of a chiyuv because there's somebody needy on the other end, but it's more of a chiyuv beinoyu bein atzmoy to show your trust and your recognition that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll point out that because the makor is not so clear, the Bach actually in Yeridei, in these halachas, said that there's really no chiyuv. This is only a smach. It's not a chiyuv, not the raisa, not the rabbanan. Others argue. Tosfos seems to understand that it's a proper obligation. So there's really in the poskim three levels, which we're not going to go into the poskim per se now. It can either be a chiyuv deraisa, it's implied in the pasuk. It can be a chiyuv derabbanan, and it's an asmachta of chazal being soimich. And we might add that bizman hazeh, most of us, unfortunately, are chutzlars, and we don't take off ma'aser, so the chiyuv is in place of the meiser. It's learned from that pasuk. The other possibility is that it's a minik. We might add, based on what we just said, that since the source in Chazal is an understanding that the Torah makes you realize by giving of your shefa to others, that it all comes from the Rebbeinu Shlom. And the only way to succeed in the first place is only by obligating yourself to give to others. So it's really only a self-imposed obligation in terms of your recognition that it comes from the Rebbeinu Shlom. The way the Paiskim describe that halachically is that once a person starts giving ma'aser, which is recommended, it becomes a neder, and then it's incumbent on him to continue. That being said, like we said, since the source is ma'aser, in the sense of peiros of Eretz Yisrael, there's one very basic difference. Peiros of Eretz Yisrael, like we mentioned, have an iser to be eaten, to be used, until trumas and ma'asers are taken off. Would we say that if somebody empties out his cash register, today we don't have cash registers so much, but somebody, in the good old days, somebody emptied out, he has $100 of profit this week. Until he takes off $10, so that's considered tevel? Of course not. However, there is a mokoim as a hanhog of kedusha. I was actually one time, had the privilege, had the schus on a Friday morning, of being in the house of Moron, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's old Zumten Shtark Zayin, and he gave over money that he received from the kollel to his wife, telling her not to use the money for household expenses until maisus was taken off. It's a beautiful anhoga. It's certainly not lahalach lamaisa, but you see a level of kedusha in a anhoga of a godel ador. It's always worth hearing such things. In any case, being that the concept of giving maisus is not based on the money being peiros, and you have to take off, you have to, so to speak, fix up, be misakin esakri, you have to fix up the money by taking off maisus in order to be maturit. So therefore, the maiser is not so much chal. The chiv maiser is incumbent on a person. It's not chal on the money that he receives. And it has to be that way, and we'll explain why. Money that a person receives is not the whole story in determining how much money he has. For instance, person has, like we said, in his cash register, $100. So he earned $100. What happened to the rent on the store? What happened to the salaries, inventory, expenses, and so on? How much did he actually earn? If he has $100 in the cash register, he's lucky if he earned $20. So what does he really consider his earnings in terms of ma'aser? Of course, $20. How to compute expenses, what's considered legitimate expenses, expenses that are shy to the business, and more or less, think of it, if you want to look at ma'aser as, so to speak, a Torah, a HaKadosh Baruch Hu mandated tax on one's wealth, even though, by the way, we're capitalists, we're not socialists. We don't believe that the government imposes this tax. This tax is self-imposed in terms of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and your relationship with those around you. So if you understand that the source of wealth is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you understand that part of that is to be given to others in that context. That being said, but look at it as a tax in the sense that the same way when you're filling out a tax return, you have to know, based on the rules and regulations, what's a business expense, what's not, what's a write-off, what's not. The same thing is true in ma'aser. Also, to be said, is that when does one owe money? There's such an idea as a fiscal year and how much you earn when you're coming to a cheshbon of ma'aser or whatever you pay. Most people pay more than 10% in terms of Uncle Sam. What's true biyachas in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does it have to do with a year? Not necessarily. The truth of the matter is that a person could give ma'aser really on any penny that comes in. It's just not going to be very computable because you have to be able to sit down with a pen and paper. And this is something that's mechayev real time and effort. The same way computing your accounting work is also something you have to put time and effort into. Computing how much you owe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expenses, so to speak, is also something that a person has to give time. Can a person do that day to day? Usually not. Is it weekly, monthly, quarterly? That depends on everybody. Poskim or matzia, they suggest a person taking a financial block. We'll call it a quarterly. Most people do some type of accounting reckoning in terms of expenses, money coming in and money coming out on the quarterly, a half a year, or it could be even a year, and whatever it is. So again, in the basic way, what we're saying now is that one is mechuyev ma'aser from your net, not from your gross, what comes into the cash register, so to speak, but on your net. What's called a person's net? Money that's sitting in a bank account, or money that's business that's invested, that accumulates. interest would be considered. Amount that money is worth more because of inflation, that type of thing, would not be called per gain. Again, there's a lot of amount of games on this, and it has to be learned by Iyun. Expenses in terms of inflation, would that play into the amount of money? Maybe not. We'll use as a simple example. Person gets an inheritance. So the same way Lahavdil is the concept of an inheritance tax. Maestris is not necessarily only related to money that one earns, but it's even money that one gets. A Yerusha, if somebody yashins $250,000, Bipashtus, in the simple level, is Mechuyiv, $25,000. By the way, if taxes or whatever it is has to be paid, lawyers, fees on the estate, and so on. So the profit, the net of what he has, is after the expenses. It's not the gross, but it's the net. That being said, the average person, when he gets a Yerusha, usually invests the money. So the proper procedure for Meiser and such a thing is to look at an inheritance tax, to look at the Meiser on the gross of the inheritance itself. What I mean to say is the gross after expenses. So let's say $250,000, and let's say to sign off the lawyer, and there has to be a court, etc., etc. And at the end of the day, he only walks away with $220,000. The maestris that should be given, or is mechuyiv, incumbent on the receiver of the inheritance right away, is $22,000. Thereafter, when it's invested, when that sum of 220, well, if you're going to minus the 22, so you'll only be left with $198,000. When that $198,000 is invested, and it makes, let's say, 7% a year, everybody can do the math, the 7% of will earn whatever it'll earn. 1/10 of 7 means, say, 0.7 of that accumulation, it will also be incumbent in terms of earnings. A person could earn not only by the sweat of his hands, not only by what he does, but money that's invested is also earning money for you. So in a nutshell, what we're saying is that the maestris should be given on the gift, on the inheritance. After that, the money being invested is earnings, is maestris that's given on the earnings. So however you invest it, the same way if a business is grown because you're investing, you branch out, you invest, you expand your portfolio, so then there's other opportunities for earnings, and all those earnings are subject to the halachas of maestris. One last thing we'll point out is that even though matonos are considered money that a person gets, of course, a person's net worth goes up if he inherited, let's say, valuable silver or even a house. At what point would we look at that as taxable, quote unquote, if we look at maestris in those terms? Household items, silver, and so on and so forth, usually we don't look at it, even if it's valuable, and even maybe if one day it'll be sold, we don't look at it as something that's cash, that's money, that's assets. We look at it in terms of the chayfets, in terms of the item itself. A house as well, somebody yashes a house from their parents and they're going to move in, they don't owe taxes, they don't owe maestris on that house. But if that house is to be looked at the same way a person can have money in the bank, there are properties that a person yashes, those properties in terms of who you are is not a house, those are assets. A person can have an asset by having stock in a company, he could have property, he could have money invested in all sorts of different things. Those are earnings, and the right thing is that maestris should be taken off of those, even though the specifics of these are very up in the air, and one has to learn through the Paiskim, and one, of course, has to ask Shailas from Dayanim about what's Mechuyiv and what's not Mechuyiv. Of course, since maestris is not, according to the broad consensus of Paiskim, Achiv Deraisin, there's a lot of Mokoyim to lean on Mechilim. On the other hand, it's definitely praiseworthy when a person has to go the extra mile with maestris, and remember, aser b'shvil shetes aser. That's always a good piece of advice for somebody looking to grow his assets.